The gospel lesson this morning is found in the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verses 19 and 28 through 33. Jesus saw that they wanted to ask him about this, so he said to them, "Are you asking one another what I meant when I said, 'In a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me'? I came from the Father and entered the world. Now I am leaving the world and going back to the Father." Then Jesus' disciples said, "Now you are speaking clearly and without figures of speech. Now we can see that you knew all things and that you do not even need to have anyone ask you questions. This makes us believe that you came from God." "Do you now believe?" Jesus replied. "A time is coming, and in fact has come, when you will be scattered, each to your own home. You will leave me all alone. Yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. I have told you these things so that you may have peace in this world. You may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world." On Thursday night this last week, I had the honor of addressing the Cook County High School graduating class of 2016. I spoke on our Old Testament reading that you heard Polly read this morning, and I'd like to share some of the thoughts I shared with them with you this morning. Over and over, God tells Joshua, "Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous." And throughout chapter 1, he says, "Be strong and courageous." These are words for us in 2016, as surely as they were words for Joshua nearly 4,000 years ago. We are confronted with a world filled with physical peril and moral minefields. We face a future in which terrorism and economic uncertainty are the new normal, where social injustice and environmental degradation threaten to rend asunder the fabric of society on the one hand and disrupt finely tuned ecological relationships on the other. Be strong and courageous. Well, when I think of courage, the first thing I think of is the cowardly lion in The Wizard of Oz. You might recall that upon their first meeting, the lion threatened Dorothy, the Scarecrow, and the Tin Man with insults and taunts. "Put him up! Put him up!" Until he finally chases Toto into the bush. But that's not courage. He confused courage with bravado, as often occurs, particularly in the political realm. He'd confused standing strong with picking a fight. Or I think of Ernest Shackleton, because when I was in high school, I had to read a really big, fat book called South that was about Ernest Shackleton. He set out in 1914 to lead the first expedition to cross Antarctica overland. Unfortunately, the crew of Shackleton's ship, the Endurance, ran out of summer, and their vessel became permanently frozen in the polar ice. While the crew was able to wait out the winter, the ship broke up and sank, stranding the crew on an ice floe. But Shackleton didn't give up. In a trek that included snowy mountain ranges, more than 800 miles of open water, and a boatload of courage, he managed to save every last man, although the dogs weren't quite so lucky. But Shackleton lived 100 years ago. Research planes fly over the South Pole routinely today, and while crossing Antarctica or summiting Everest might test one's mettle, these death-defying adventures seem far removed from my life. So maybe courage makes more sense when I read about everyday people, like Julianne Koepke, a 17-year-old girl who, after surviving a plane crash in the Peruvian rainforest that killed the other 92 passengers, followed streams and rivers for 10 days until she was found by a group of lumberjacks. She had to deal with severe injuries. She faced crocodiles and piranhas and merciless biting insects and the grief of knowing that her mother had died in the crash. Sometimes it takes courage just to survive. Or I read about Anthony Omari, who just a few years ago was a 24-year-old who woke up to find intruders breaking into the Kenyan orphanage in which he lived and worked. In an effort to protect the children and especially the young girls inside, he courageously faced the intruders with a hammer. In the process, his face was slashed with a machete, and he barely managed to succeed in chasing the intruders off before police arrived and he blacked out. It takes courage to defend the defenseless. But then, there's Yasutera Yamada, a 72-year-old engineer and cancer survivor. In 2011, when an underwater earthquake and resulting tsunami damaged the Fukushima nuclear reactor in Japan, Yamada watched on his television as younger men braved the radiation-filled reactor chamber to neutralize the damage. Being a nuclear engineer himself, he understood how much radiation they would be facing, and he quickly organized 400 skilled retired volunteers, all men in their 70s and 80s, to take the place of these younger men in continuing the work of cleanup and containment. These elderly volunteers, veterans of the construction and nuclear power industries, accepted that their radiation exposure might take years off of their lives. But as Yamada said, these young men might have contracted cancer in 15 or 20 years had I not taken their place. In 15 or 20 years, I will have already been dead. It takes courage to look beyond yourself. These men and women, young and old, showed amazing courage in the face of violence and death. They used their own bodies to shield others, or they conquered impossible physical situations and survived. From their lives, I see the embodiment of something Nelson Mandela said about his struggles to end apartheid in South Africa. I learned that courage was not the absence of fear, he said, but the triumph over it. The brave man is not he who does not feel afraid, but he who conquers that fear. John Wayne put it this way: courage is being scared to death and saddling up anyway. Unfortunately, though, I think these amazing stories of physical bravery give us the impression that real courage is in these once-in-a-lifetime situations where you are called to risk your life for someone else or for your very survival. But I think courage goes beyond that. I think it takes courage to face down injustice with quiet resolve. I think it takes courage to endure a difficult situation in your own life and with fortitude attempt to use it for the good of others. These thoughts led me to the story of Lakshmi Agarwal of India, a girl of 16 in 2005 when her life was changed in an instant. A man twice her age who'd been stalking her for a year, a man whose marriage proposal she'd rebuffed, threw acid in her face. After several surgeries, her face is still disfigured, her eyesight remains impaired, and she remains very susceptible to infection. Her childhood was gone, and her future was unsure. But today, she works tirelessly, campaigning against the easy availability of the acid used in her attack and for a change in attitudes in her own culture that might prevent a future attack on someone else. This is courage. It's courage to care selflessly for a loved one dying of cancer or facing Alzheimer's or dealing with addiction or struggling through depression or mental illness. A friend of mine, after telling me of his own life and homelessness, put it this way: courage is living for something rather than dying for nothing. In our passage from the Old Testament that Polly read earlier this morning, Joshua is faced with an enormous challenge. Moses, the leader of the Exodus, had just died, and his mantle now passed to Joshua. Moses, the man who had spoke face to face with God, who parted the Red Sea with his outstretched hand, who struck a rock and water poured forth. Can you imagine succeeding Moses? Besides all of this, Joshua is now the leader of a group of people known for murmuring and complaining and backsliding and wishing they were back in Egypt where they came from. But God looks at Joshua and says, "You to man, there are things to accomplish." Moses had led the Israelites out of Egypt. He had led them out of bondage. He had led them through many a precarious situation, but now it was up to the next generation to claim the promised land. And God is telling Joshua, get going. He says, be strong and courageous. But he doesn't stop there. Let's take a closer look at how God tells Joshua he can be strong and courageous. And I think these words for us, we can use in our own lives to be strong and courageous as well. In verse 3, he says, stand on his promises. In the Christian tradition, we understand that God so loved the world that he sent his Son to die for us and take away the pain of death. As we trust in Jesus for our eternity, we stand on God's promise. The worst thing is never the last thing. On the cross, he defeated even death. He calls us into relationship with him, and because he so loved us, we are freed to live for others, to love our neighbors as ourselves. We live for Christ, and when we die for Christ. In him, we trust our eternity. And that's what so many of these stories of courage really demonstrated. His promises are here. Jesus says, I have overcome the world, and you can stand on that promise. In verse 5, he says, sense his presence. In our modern hustle and bustle world, we oftentimes don't take the time to sense his presence. But how can Joshua lead with courage and confidence? He can because the same God that was with Moses is with him. A God that will not forsake and will not fail. We are children of a God who promises to walk with us when we face the valley of the shadow of death. In Christ we serve a God from whom nothing can separate us, not even death. He is always with us. It's easy to clutter up our lives with the stuff of the everyday and the clamor of the world. When the graduates in Cook County High School leave Cook County, they are leaving an amazing place where God's presence can be felt in the lapping of the waves on the lakeshore, the sound of the wind through the trees, and the call of the loon on a Boundary Waters lake. But God's Spirit is everywhere. He is in the bustling crowd in the big city. He is in the loneliness of a desert. I felt him as I watched a tall ship sail into the harbor of Busan, Korea. I've seen him at work on a mission trip on the South Pacific island of Saipan. I've heard him in an ancient monastery in Macedonia, and known his presence as I sat with friends and family strumming guitars and singing in an apartment in Turkey. Wherever you are, I reminded the graduates, take the time to be still and know God's presence. Now in verse 7, he says, stay the course. A lot of young people say Jesus is cool, but they don't have much to do with the church. There are a lot of new spiritualities out there that leave behind the traditions of the past or anti-theisms that say God is dead. But God says to Joshua, don't turn to another path. Don't compromise on the essentials. Faithfulness is the key to courage. Don't give up gathering together to build each other up, to encourage each other, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to get re-energized, to stay the course, and to refine your courage. And that's why we gather here on Sunday morning. And finally, in verse 11, Joshua starts the journey. Every great adventure begins with the first step. It doesn't matter if you're climbing Everest or getting out of bed in the morning. I am reminded of the college roommate that I was assigned my first year at Bemidji State University. I rarely saw the guy because although he was registered for the same class that I was, he never got up in the morning. He'd hit his alarm snooze button for about the seventh or eighth time as I was walking out the door. And then he wouldn't return from his nightly social event by the time that I'd hit the sack at about 10 or 11 each night. Great adventures start with the first step. But this roommate of mine hadn't realized that he needed to take that first step every day. For this year's seniors, high school graduation was a big step. But as we all know, it's not an end. It's a beginning. It's the first step of many that they will be called to take. It's the first step of many that we are called to take every day. I reminded them that God said to Joshua, "Get going." And he says that same thing to us. Regardless of your age or your station, he says, "You to man, you to woman." Climate change and economic disparity might be your Antarctica. Social injustice and medical challenges will confront you as surely as any ice floe, whether you are young or old. The world is full of potential, but also full of danger. And God says, get going. Stand on his promises. Sense his presence. Stay the course. Start the journey. Be strong and courageous. Amen.